So I usually like to ask guests three questions so that way myself and the viewers get to know them better. Is that cool?
Yeah, fire away.
All right. So if you were to speak to your younger self, what advice would you give him and why?
How young? Just tell me that. Because
18.
that 18.
I was going to stick away from the age. I was going to say, yeah, if you usually the question is, if you speak to your 18-year-old self, what advice would you give him and why?
Okay. My 18-year-old self, I would say, don't get married until you've done everything you want to do first. Because if you don't, and I see this a lot, you're going to have a very unfair resentment towards your wife and your kids. Because that's how men are. We're doers, we're accomplishers. And if we sell that dream short for somebody else's dream, that might be fine at first, but it's going to wear on you at some point. Now, I've never been married, so I dodged that, but I came close once or twice. So yeah, I think that's just good advice for a lot of people. You know, if your dream is to start a family and that's what a lot of people want, then you should absolutely do that. But mine was always different. And just later in life, I'm finally now doing that. So glad I waited. And we're guys, we kind of have the luxury of settling down when we want. So if I want to do it, 10, 15 years down the road, I can do that too. So it's working out well. But none of this would have happened, I don't think, if I would have mailed it in early.
Got you. Got you. Okay. Question number two. If you could be an expert, besides Forex, offshore banking, and ultimate time freedom, what would it be and why?
I always wanted to be a sportscaster growing up.
Like
I think
six
that,
daily?
yeah, I mean, just baseball or football, one of those two
Okay.
would have been great. Like I'm a big UFC fan, but I don't think I'd be a good commentator there. 'Cause I'm too honest. But yeah, something like that. I'd love to be an expert in that space. I mean, so much to where, no matter what you ask me, I could answer it with confidence. I probably couldn't do that right now. But that was always kind of a side dream growing up.
Okay, I see. Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. So, outside of Forex, be a sportscaster. That's dope. I wouldn't have guessed that at all. So that's what's up. Question number three. What is one value you believe all men should learn to make it a better place for everyone?
Accountability.
Okay. Why accountability?
I think it's going away. I
Okay.
think it's fashionable to be a victim, or it's fashionable just to blame other people or political figures or whatever for your situation. Things are going to happen that you're not going to like, and you might not be playing with as strong of a hand as somebody else is, but that didn't stop a lot of people from winning anyway. So, it's I've seen so many people spiral down with victim mentalities. Like for those people, life just never gets better because there's always going to be a reason why they can't. So if you just own your mistakes and understand that even if it's really not your fault, it kind of is your fault, then that's a really good place to start, and you can build off of that. But it just seems like that's going away a lot for men.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Something like last year before my deployment, I found out I had a son. And the girl that I went to church with is the bishop's niece that I had a son with her. And she didn't tell me anything. My son was already born when I found out about him from his
Ooh.
grandma on Facebook, right? So most people sit there and be like, I can't believe these motherfuckers didn't tell me da, da, da. Now, I was upset, don't get me wrong, right? Hear me out, VP. I was definitely upset, but I was like, you know what? Took a deep breath. I said, all right, cool. What do I need to do next? And I systematically approached this thing and took and started to take care of my son, you know? So yeah, I totally agree. Accountability, because at the end of the day, whatever it is, I still had sex with her, you know what I mean? And she got pregnant by me, so I still had a part to play in that whole situation.
You said something really great there. And it's from I think Lou Holtz, the old football coach of Notre Dame, said it first. It's been said a lot of times. They say only 10% of life is what happens to you. The other 90% is how you react to it. And what you said, you know, so what do I need to do next? That's always been my approach. If something really tragic or bad happens in my life, like I take a big setback or have a death or something like that, I don't sit there and dwell on it. I automatically default to that. I'm like, okay, so it's happened. What needs to be done now? Because I'm not going to let that thing that happened set me back or ruin me or whatever the case is. When you said that phrase, that really sparked something in me. I'm like, yeah, that's the way. That's how you need to approach things like this. You know, so many people just sit there and feel sorry for themselves and they spiral. It's not the move. You know, you're a grown man. You got to make decisions and make moves and take it upward from there. And that's how you do it.
Yeah, agree. Especially for men, right? Because I mean, the podcast is geared towards men, right? And I make no reservations about that either. But I always tell my friends, especially men, I'm always like, dude, at the end of the day, like, if you were a woman, it would be easier. If you were a child, it'd be even way easier, right? Because there's resources, people will gladly want to help you. But as a man, you probably have maybe your mom might love you unconditionally, right? Like, you know, if you have her, your dad, you know, but after a while, like other people outside of your family, give it about maybe less than 30 days. They're going to be like, hey, help yourself. Like, hey, dude, what are you going to do? Because you know what I'm saying? Like outside of your family, there's not too many people that would gladly lend a hand for long periods of time. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, heavy is the head that wears the crown. And we wear the crowns in our own lives. And you don't get a choice. You have to do the things you need to do or else it's going to collapse. It's on you. It's not on anybody else.
Agreed. So I agree so much. So yeah, man, I appreciate answering those questions. So I know myself and Liz has got to know you better, but let's get right into it. Let's talk about Forex, because something that you said earlier was that there's a psychology to Forex, right? Especially like when you blow your account, because I've traded before and I've bought so many programs, joined the network marketing programs for it too, IML, I think back in the day, maybe still might be around, but I thought I was gonna become rich and fucking like, I thought I was gonna be so rich off of Forex, man. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, I can learn this. It's gonna be a good skill. Still wanna learn it one day as well. But talk to me about, how did you stumble upon Forex?
So I was waiting tables in Las Vegas, 2009, 2010, right around then. And the good thing about Vegas is everybody has a side hustle. So it's an exciting place, right? Because in other cities, I'd wait tables and it's just, people are just kind of passing the time, or they're working for weed money, or, you know, their husband makes the money and they just need something to do. It's not very motivating. But in Vegas, you make more money, and not everybody wants to do that the rest of their lives. They want to do other things. And so that energy is exciting. One person who I worked with, really smart guy, Ivy League guy, was a penny stock trader. And he talked to me about it, and he claimed he was really good at it. And he kind of showed me what to do. And then he gave me a pick and it 10X'd. And then he actually told me when to get out. And I was like, wow, this is incredibly exciting. This is going to be my ticket out of restaurants. I mean, this guy can't miss, right? Well, the next three missed and I lost it. I lost everything I made, but I still, that bug still bit me, right? I'm like, you know what? This seems to be a way that I can use my brain to eventually get out of this industry, because that industry will trap you if you're not careful. So I went to one of the finance message boards, and penny stocks kind of dry up in the summertime. But I saw this little thing called Forex. I'm like, all right, what's this? I found the smartest guy there. And I said, hey, man, I'm not asking you to teach me anything. Can you just point me in a direction? I want to learn this market. And so he did. And I went there. And I'm not somebody who learns things very quickly. I have a major case of ADD. It's one of those like 2% of things out there I learn really well. But when I do, I learn it really fast. And this was one of those things. And so I got really excited. And I learned how to read charts, which seemed very daunting to me. But like in a matter of a week, I knew what I was doing. And I learned all the tools that help you better determine what direction price is going to go. I'm like, damn, this is great. And on top of that, the great thing about Forex, and remember, crypto wasn't around back then. So Forex compared to stocks is, in the United States, you could get up to 50 to 1 leverage. So for every dollar you put in, you actually get 50 in the game. I'm like, wow, with regular stocks, I don't think I can make enough money in a quick amount of time to get out of here. But with Forex, this is different. This could really be it. So I decided at that moment that I wasn't going to rely on other people. I'm just going to rely on myself, burn the boats, and this is going to be it. Here we go. And so, like everybody does, you know, I made all the stupid mistakes. I blew out 3 accounts all the way down to 0 before I finally figured out what I was doing. And the way I did that was by doing things completely different than what I was told. I looked at everybody. I'm like, everybody's trading the exact same way. Do these people have no creativity? There's other ways you can go. And so I developed a system over time that was completely different from everybody else. So that's what finally got me to a pro level in 2014. A prop firm out of Utah took me on, and now I wasn't trading my money anymore. I was trading theirs, which is even better because then you can save your own money for other things. And but still, just like restaurants, trading is very inconsistent. You know, you can do really well 1 month, but then you might take a negative. If you're waiting tables in Vegas, you might have a really great week, but then the next week there's nothing in town and you don't get any shifts. So like, you're always afraid to spend the money you make, and that's not a great lifestyle. So in 2018, I was like, all right, well, I had this really unique way of trading. Maybe other people out there would be interested in this too. If I can just get maybe a small group of people who like this, maybe I can get my name out there, and maybe a hedge fund will hire me or something like that. You know, there's no downside to this. So let's go ahead and put it out there. So I put it together, put it out on YouTube. And it turns out a lot more than just a few people were interested in what I had to say. And so the channel blew up, and my trading got better and better. I got sponsors and affiliates from the channel. 3 podcasts later, here we are.
There's a lot that was there, and I'm glad that you shared that, and I appreciate that. So when you first got the penny stocks, can you give us like numbers, how much you made that was like, that kind of told you like, yeah, this is it?
I think it was like maybe $5,000, which isn't a lot, but seemed like a lot at the time for sure.
Yeah.
And you know how we do. We're stupid. You know, you're like, well, if I just get 10x on every trade, if I can turn this 5,000 into 50, and then 50 into 500,000, you know, it's so unrealistic. But those are the dreams you have.
True.
Now, and, you know, I didn't have a lot of walking around money. You know, I bought my condo in 2007, right before the bubble, so I was just constantly underwater. So it's not like I had a lot of walking around money anyway. So 5,000 was significant. Like, I could have paid down a lot of debt with that. But I let it ride.
Yeah, no, that's what's up. I totally understand, because I remember when I was working at a restaurant, I joined a friend that was like a really good trader, and I thought I was, I called the trade. I was like, hey, this is what's gonna go. Now, I had no idea what I was doing, right? I was still learning, and it went my way, and I held it way too long, right? I should have got out, but I was like, yo, if this just keeps going up, this 1,000 is going to turn into 2. This 2 is going to turn into 4. This 4 is going to turn into 10,000. And then that'll be my ticket out of serving. Within like 2 hours, the trade reversed on me. My account blew. And I was like, yeah. Yep. I never went back after that.
Yeah, I mean, that's trading in a nutshell, if you don't know what you're doing. And your folly there was psychology, which is so crazy. Because I mean, that's why I touch on it. So we have a whole podcast dedicated to it. I wrote a book on it because it's so ignored. I think people don't spend more time on it because it doesn't get clicks like the other stuff does. You know, we want to learn how to read charts. We want to learn how to get big gains and stuff like that, which is great. But without psychology, it doesn't matter. You could have the holy grail system that hits 95% of the time. You will still lose money because you will go in there and screw it up. You know, you should just let it play out the way it's supposed to, but we never do that. So, yeah. And so I felt that was really necessary to kind of take things in more of that direction after I already got all my technical videos out. And you know, it's not the most lucrative thing in the world for me, but it's the most helpful thing for people watching. So that's really kind of been the gift that keeps on giving for me, because the feedback you get on that is so unique and so particular. because everybody went through that exact same micro problem that you went through 3 years ago, and nobody has ever told them how to get over it or what to do in that situation or even how to identify it. A lot of people don't think they make mistakes. And as men too, our egos are so crazy. The last thing we want to do is admit that we are mentally weak in some department. But you have to do that. It's never, ever going to get better. That's why the fail rate in Forex is so huge. It's like 99.9% of people never make it to where they want to get to. Even though they have these really great systems, you know, they spend all this time on it. Doesn't matter. If you are going to go in there and screw up what is going to be a good trade, that affects your bottom line so much over time that you'll never, ever recover.
Yeah. I think the one thing is, we talked about this in the beginning, like once a bad trade happens and say you blow your account or whatever, you have to get back on the pony. If you really want to be, I think, in my opinion, right now, I'm not a pro Forex trader, so let me hear from you. But I think if you blow your account or whatever, you just have to put money back into your account and be like, okay, cool. Learn from it, have a cool level head. But what would you say your professional advice is for someone that blows their account but still wants to get better?
Yeah, well, I've done it three times. Yeah, the only move is to keep going. If you really think you have something, now you can, now don't, you know, go into debt or completely wipe yourself out. You know, always deal with money that you can afford to lose, but it still doesn't feel good when you lose it. But no. but of course. Yeah. I don't know anybody that's just done really well from the start. I think everybody has either blown an account out or taken an account down to a really small amount to where there's really no point in trading it anymore. So you just have to be very conscious and very aware of the mistakes you made. Don't make them again and keep going. That's, I don't know a trader that hasn't gone through that and just put their head down and kept going anyway. So the answer to that question is a big yes.
Yeah. Yeah. True. So in terms of, do you think Forex is for everybody or is it just for like a select few people? And could you give us the criteria of what that's for, who that's for?
Forex is not for everybody. If you look on my channel, I have a lot of subscribers, but my retention is fairly low because a lot of people, the majority of people came on there thinking they were going to get this really quick all-in-one system, or I was going to share my system with them. It's a do-it-yourself channel, and it's going to take a while. And that's just how anything is, but they weren't having it. You know, I told you before that leverage is really an allure to a lot of people to get rich quick. And that is not how this game goes. You know, so many people came in expecting one thing and then I actually told them the truth. And they're like, well, okay, not interested in this. And they're no longer with us. So if you're looking for something quick like that, or if you're desperate and you need money right away, Forex is the last place you should be. You will absolutely lose it all. But if you're willing to take a disciplined, regimented approach, and you are built to deal with some highs, but a lot of lows too, you can come out the other side and do really well here. And you don't have to use your own money. There are a lot of routes you can go simply by being good at this. But yeah, it takes a certain type, and I can't describe it into words, but I can tell you the type of people that aren't going to make it. It's those people who are looking for something quick, people who are just generally lazy, people who don't have their own lives together. You know, you're going to struggle in Forex because it takes a level of discipline to get to that 0.1% of people who actually get to where they want to get to. You know, there's no other way, Bertrand. I don't know of it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, VP. Yeah, there is no other way but to hop on a pony and then not see that's a get rich quick, because I literally, like I told you before, I thought when I joined all these companies, I was like, yeah, this, I'm going to get rich right away. And that's how they say, you know, they say, oh, you don't even need to make money by recruiting. You just have to, you know, follow our own trades. If you took all these trades, you're going to make this much money, which later on they started putting income disclaimers on things. But I always thought that I was going to hit like 10K, then 20, 30K a month with Forex. And then after that, like, you know, live that life, laptop lifestyle, and just travel and, you know, not do shit for a living, but just have fun.
Yeah, IML does that shit. I had so many people come from there over to my channel and saying, yeah, never again. I fell for all of it. And it's, You know, I guess it's a good business model for them. You know, they make money no matter what. But selling a dream like that is very, very disingenuous. Sure, it can happen, but the chances are so astronomically low. And they leave that part out on purpose.
Yeah, true. I mean, definitely they're selling the shovel during the gold rush right now, you know, really selling the shovel the whole time. But you know, can you talk a little more about your system and how you in 5 years were able to master it? I would say master it, but become at a pro level. Could you talk a little more about your system and what entails and kind of give us like a brief overview? You know, like if you were talking to, say, someone that doesn't know anything about Forex, you know, explain to us what entails.
Well, you would have to know something about trading to understand what I'm about to say. But
okay.
Gotcha. So it's the good thing about Forex is you don't have to rely on news too much like you would stocks. It's a lot of it's just being able to read a chart really well. So that part's nice. But there are tools that have been around for 30, 40, 50 years before Forex was even really a spot. Forex trading was even a thing. These are mostly made for stocks, these tools. And you put them on a chart. And if you do it right, you can have a higher probability of determining where price is going to go. And so that's, if you've ever heard technical analysis, that's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Now, these same 12, 15 tools, like I said, have been around forever. And there are other tools called indicators. Some of them are also old, but some of them are very new. And I'm thinking, why would people be using these dinosaur tools when there are these more modern tools made by talented coders out there? Let's go find those. I thought there was only going to be a few. There's thousands. There's over 10,000 indicators out there. There were back then. I'm sure there's more now. And I'm like, ooh, well, why is nobody talking about these? Why is nobody using these? Let's test them out. And let's see if I can put a combination of them together to where one checks the other. And let's see what that does. And so that was successful. But again, I keep going back to this. My psychology wasn't. So while I was doing that, I was also journaling every time I would do something stupid. And again, as men, this is so hard because we never want to admit we do something stupid. We don't want to admit that we're emotionally weak. But I would write it down. And I would vow that I would never make that mistake again. No matter what my brain was telling me, you know, my system, I tested my system. It does really well. Why would I deviate from that? Just let that thing cook. And mm-hmm. So I learned to do that over time. And that was really the turning point. You know, anybody can put something reasonably good together. Now I think what I put together was exceptionally good. Great. But again, it would have been all for nothing had I not gotten that psychology down. And once I did, once I was able to turn my brain off and just trade like a robot, things got so much better and consistently good too.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I see what you're saying. No, that's what's up. And then now with the way you have everything set up, what's the result of all that? So that way they understand where you are now.
Yeah, so I don't disclose actual results. Now, I always told people that Warren Buffett would average about 20% a year. I would always aim for that. And there's times where I've fallen a bit short. There's times where I've beaten it. Now, really, ever since I started my channel, 2018 to about 2021, was a really bad time for volume. Market just wasn't trending like it used to. So I underperformed my 20% baseline all three of those years. But then things finally started to pick up as the economy started to get a bit shaky. A lot of that money went into cash, which is good for our market. And so things started trending again, and that's what we want. So it's been good ever since that, but it was a little rocky there for a minute. I never took negatives, but I never achieved my baseline during that time either.
Mm. Okay. No, but the fact is that you're still able, I mean, you're still able to keep up with your lifestyle, still move forward. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you're running the channel full time, so it's like you're still trading full time. So even though you didn't hit those markers, you're still where you want to be.
Yeah, and to clarify too, this is one of the things I show people. I only trade for about 15 minutes a day. If you look at a price candle or a bar on a screen, that represents a unit of time. That can be 1 minute, that can be 15 minutes, that can be a day, that can be a month. I use the daily chart. So all those candles are 1 day. So all I have to do is go look at my charts and see what that one candle is doing and see how it's making my indicators react. And then I can decide to do something or maintain a trade or sit out. And so I have 36 currency pairs I trade along with metals. And I'm able to just rifle through all those for about 15, 20 minutes a day right before the market closes, and then I'm done. So I'm not sitting there like a zombie wasting my life away and ruining my health staring at a screen for 8 hours. You don't have to do that. It's actually better and more accurate if you don't. But the lifestyle that gives you is extraordinary. Yeah, I would not be able to keep up with all the things I do if I was trading, quote, full time like that. Now, that's for the birds. That does not interest me at all. And that was one of the biggest things I had to convince people of who came to my channel for the first time. Because when you first learn this market, every example they show you is from like a 5 minute or a 15 minute chart. So in your head, you're like, oh, okay, this is how I need to trade. It's not it. So my channel does a lot of is say, hey, I know you were taught this, but this is actually what you really need to be focusing on. Can you be deprogrammed and can you scrap, you know, everything you've been doing up until this point and do things my way? Because if you do, you're really, really going to like it better. And that's one of the biggest hacks right there that I just told you. Trading the daily chart so you're not sitting there all day, just wasting your life away staring at a screen.
Oh, wow. Oh, shoot. So basically, you're coming in 15 minutes after that, you go about your day and you're good.
Yeah. And I'm still not even trading my money. I'm still trading their money. And you move up in tiers and they give you more, you know, the better you get. So if I wasn't doing any of this other stuff and I was just trading, I would be fine. It's just nice to have consistent money coming in too. It's almost like instead of having a commission job, it's salary plus commission. And, you know, that's just better for the overall psyche, you know?
Yeah. No, that definitely makes sense. So, you know, can you talk to me more about something you put on your form was like offshore banking, right? I kind of want to talk a little bit about that because a lot of people, when you hear offshore banking, you think people make a whole bunch of money to avoid taxes. They go open up an account in Panama because you see it in all the movies, right? Is that how it works or what's the reality behind it?
Yes and no. So like I told you before, my dream was always to travel the world and not travel like, you know, I only got 3 days to go see this. Let's get the clipboard out and cross things off. No, I want to live in a place for a while and get to really know it. That was always my thing. And that's what I'm doing now. I was able to do that in 2020. And I wanted to go to Europe, but that's when COVID first came about and Europe was closed. So Latin America was mostly open. So I did that, fell in love with it. And that's where I'm at now. Now, if you are running your own business or have a remote job, you can and should get a residence permit in a different country and use that residence permit to start a business and open up a bank account in that country, because you will save a lot on taxes. It's not even, I mean, the difference is night and day. Plus, you also have diversification. If something should happen in the country where you are, then you have exits, you know. And I'm not saying the probability of something really bad happening in a fully developed Western country is probable, but based on what we've seen the last 3 years, maybe the probability is higher than it was before, a lot higher, you know, in terms of limiting your freedom of movement, in terms of, I think in the UK, they've already closed down 1 million bank accounts because these people didn't agree with their world political views. Like, things that were just absurd to us 10 years ago are actually happening now. So I'm not taking any chances. You know, I'm not going to let something external ruin the money I've made and have to go back to waiting tables. You know, I'm going to make sure that I'm spread out and diversified. And if that involves doing something that my normie friends back home think is weird or shady, that's fine because they're wrong. Once you learn about these things, it's very normal and it's an obvious move. I don't understand why you wouldn't do it. I mean, you don't have to go all the way with it like I do. Like, I have 6 different bank accounts. Only 2 of them are in the United States where I'm from. But it's not like I really use those banks. They're just there if I need them. There's no downside to that. I can put money anywhere. I have a bullion bank to where I buy gold, and then I have a crypto. I have different crypto accounts. So no matter what happens in the world, my money is going to be fine because I took the time to go do that. And with these residence permits that I get too, a residence permit is really almost just as good as a passport. You just can't vote. You can be a citizen of any country you want. I remember, it's an extreme example, but during COVID, Australia, a fully developed functional country, was not letting people leave. And if you were vacationing somewhere else, you couldn't even come back in. And some other countries are doing this too, but only citizens, so passport holders, and foreign residents, which are residence permit holders, were allowed into the country. So I don't know what the future is going to bring, but if it gets crazy again, like I said, my dream was to travel, and I wasn't able to do that the way I wanted to, and that resonated with me, and I really remember that. So having these permits, and some of them are so cheap right now, but they will not be cheap later. So I tell people, if you see one you want, go, just don't even think about it. Go get it. Because I know I'm kind of branching off into residence permits now, but these all kind of go hand in hand. But most of them are very expensive, very restrictive, and there's physical presence requirements to where you have to be there for a long time. Like to get that Puerto Rico tax incentive, you have to be there. You have to be in Puerto Rico 330 days. It's insane. With Mexico, I don't think there even is a physical presence requirement. And I'm about to get one in Paraguay, and that's just like 1 or 2 days out of the year. It's nothing. And they're also cheap. It's this weird combination of things. And I'm like, guys, I know this seems weird to you, but just go get it done. You'll have it forever, and you'll always have that back pocket residency, and you'll always have those off ramps, those tunnels, just in case things go bad. And if you do it right, you will save a lot on taxes every year. I'm so glad I did the work early on to be set up now to where I can just put everything on autopilot and keep so much more of that money that I was just giving away before. You like my long answers?
Yeah, no, I do. Cause then the thing is, you don't just say, oh yeah, go do that or go do this. It's like, no, you give the reason behind it and then get personally how you're doing it too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I know that was a bit of a shift from Forex, but that's one of the things I kind of learned along the way. And yeah, you always hear about, dirty money and Swiss banking and the Panama Papers and things like that. It's like, well, go actually learn what happened there. And who was doing that? It's so much better now. There is no more secrecy. Bank secrecy is dead, but that's fine. The United States knows every single thing I'm doing. I have no problems with that. I didn't get to this point so I could look over my shoulder all day, so everything is fine. They're okay with it. It's completely legal, and it's what a lot of business owners do. And so I'm doing it too. And I'm living in those places, and the lifestyle is awesome, and I'm spending way less money than I would back home. And everything is just really, really awesome. My only, I guess, concern is just trying to get these last, residence permits and bank accounts in so I can finally stop being a lunatic and just kind of relax and have all these things kind of working in the background.
No, that's what's up, man. excuse me. No, I think that's amazing. Because at the end of the day, like, you're setting yourself up not just for now, but for the future, right?
Because yeah.
you never know when it's just going to get weird again.
So for Panama, for example, I always tell people, look at value over cost. So many people just want the ramen noodle option, and you pay for that. You get what you pay for in this industry. So for example, if you want to get one if you want to get a residence permit in Mexico right now, it'd be maybe if you really do it right, about $1,500 tops, and you're getting a top tier country with great access to North America. Like I don't know why everybody wouldn't be doing this right now, but I did Panama a few years ago. They had something called the Friendly Nations Visa, and it turned out it was $15,000. And I don't just have $15,000 to spend on a piece of plastic. That's silly, but I did it anyway because I knew it was going away. It wasn't going to be around forever. And so I set up my business through there, and I got banking through there. And, you know, it cost $15,000, but because I did all that and some of my income streams, I unplugged from the US and plugged into Panama. In 1 year, Bertrand, I saved over $15,000 in taxes. You know, what's that going to look like 10 years from now? In 1 year, I recoup the cost of that whole process. So, I mean, you have to look at it from that. You can't say, oh man, it's 15 grand. How am I going to do that? That's how I felt, but I just did it. And thank God I did. Like, I am set up nicely for the future. And you can do that in Mexico too. Panama, I think Mexico is about like a 10% tax bracket. Panama is close to zero, but still, that's such an improvement. And there's a lot of places you can do this completely legal. Some places are easier than others. You know, some places don't like to take Americans because they have to do different kinds of reporting and it's just not worth it. But some places do. And if you get into these communities and you ask around, you're like, hey, how do I do this? Where do I go? And they'll tell you because they've done it all. They've already made the mistakes, so you don't have to make them. You can hit the ground running too. Now, it doesn't make any sense if you already have like a regular job with a W-2. But if you have a remote job or you own your own business, even if it's a part-time business, do this now, because I've seen it all before, Bertrand. These things only get more expensive or more restrictive over time. So that's why I'm scrambling to get all this done now, because 2-3 years from now, when everybody's trying to do it, I have no idea what that process is going to be like. I'm sure it's going to be way worse.
Damn, that is so cool. I think that's like shit.
There is a cool factor to it. Yeah, you kind of feel like James Bond, but
yeah, because like you, I think the one thing is that as most people are like, oh, do it like this, do it like that, or what you read online, but you're like, oh, actually, how it really works is, you know, and you can sift through what's real and what's not.
That's pretty much what I've done for the better part of 6 years. I'm like, yeah, you think it's this, but it's actually this. Let me tell you about it.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I love it, man. So I know our time is winding down, but I really want to promote your YouTube channel and I have a question. So what made you want to share all this information with everybody so freely?
It's not that I really wanted to. To be honest, it wasn't altruistic. Most people who have these really good systems hoard them. And I understand that. It's like, well, I came up with it. Why am I just going to give it to you? And I don't really give it to people. I give you the blueprint. And so people who actually want to put in the work can put their own thing together and then say that this is my thing. They're not saying, I'm just going to copy from VP and do what he does. That's for lazy people. I don't reward people like that. And that's not who you want to have surrounding you right now. My group who's still around and some of the new traders that are coming in, they are so solid and smart and they understand it. And I'm actually learning from them. I finally have the community I want. But I wouldn't have gotten that if I just gave this stuff away. I would have had nothing but freeloaders come in. And like you and I talked about before, even if I gave you my exact trading system, you would go screw it up because you have no experience and you haven't gotten your psychology down and you don't have the reps in and you haven't experienced the highs and lows. So those people would have just failed and come back and said, I was a fraud and my system doesn't work. So, I'm glad I did it the way I did it. To answer your question better. I just wanted to get on the radar of a large hedge fund or institution or something like that and get hired from them. And that's really hard to do conventionally. I figure like, okay, let's make this YouTube channel my resume. I don't know how big or small it's going to be, but at least I'm putting this out there and maybe the right person will see it and hit me up and say, hey, you want to come work for us? Now I'm glad that, well, I did get a couple interviews. I didn't get a good feeling about some of those places. I got what I wanted, but by the time I got them, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I kind of like what I'm doing right now better. There's a lot more freedom here. Maybe I'm not going to make millions from a hedge fund, but man, the agility and the freedom that I've always dreamed of, and I was finally starting to see it come around. This is really intoxicating. Let's just keep doing this and do things my way instead of somebody else's way. And that was the move.
Yeah, no, I love that, because me, at the end of the day, I'm working on my new book, and something I even tell men is that, like, yo, don't look for anybody to come save you, in a sense. You know, not that you were looking for that, but in career or whatever, go out and take it. You know, and if you don't, and if you can't take it, go build it. But there's always a way, you know. And what that resonated with me when you were sharing your stories, that like you thought, you know, you thought that at the beginning, like, you know, I might get a job somewhere, you know, but at the end of the day, you were just like, I didn't have a good feeling. And you made a decision for yourself. You didn't look at like, no, you just said, you know, it's not a good feeling. I can back out, but you're in full control. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. And like what you said, you have to go make it happen. I know so many people out there who are just waiting for their ship to come in. Like, guys, it's not coming. You know, that dream girl is not gonna, you know, knock on your door and beg to come inside. You know, that lifestyle you want isn't just gonna happen because you copied off of somebody else. It never works that way. You just have to figure it out. I don't know what it's gonna take, whether it's rock bottom or whether it's just some revelation. But you have to be the boss, and you have to do a lot of work, and you're gonna have to fail a lot too. So be ready for that. But if you just keep going, if you don't give up, it's there.
I get a lot of flack for telling people this, but I tell people like, stop thanking God for success and stop praying for it. Like, go out and take it. You know, I used to be very heavily involved in the church, and like I fasted for like months, withheld like myself from having sex, you know, a lot of benefits from that, right? Like mental clarity and all that, because I thought like if I fasted and I withheld myself from sex and prayed to God, God would give me a wife. And in a sense that like I was always begging, you know, God, the universe, or whatever you want to call it, right? Whatever people call it. But for me, it was like the Christian God. I was begging him for like to make my life better, give me more money, give me a better job, right? Instead of me saying, you know what, fuck this. All right, God, I'm gonna go take this shit, you know? And when I flipped the script, I'm like, I'm not waiting for anybody to give me shit. Especially God, I'm not waiting for him to give me anything. I'm gonna go out and take whatever I want. My income went up. You know, I went from like $1,500 a week to $2,000 a week, with one job. You know, I moved, I shifted into an industry that I made more money in. So, yeah, I totally agree. There is no ship coming in to save you. There's nobody fucking coming to save you, really. No one. You have to save yourself.
Yeah, God wants you to do it all yourself, dude. God doesn't want to give you shit. You know, God already did his part. He put you on this earth as a healthy, intelligent male in an era where we have all this information and all this know-how at our fingertips. Like, we are like Greek gods compared to what people were dealing with. I mean, they saw the way we live now. They'd be like, "Are you kidding me? And you're not successful?" It's like, it's all right there. How can you not be? You know, he did that part for us, and we should be grateful for that. The rest is up to us. There's no such thing as, you know, wishing something into existence. It just, you know, you learn this over time, and that doesn't make him not a generous God. But I think that makes him very pragmatic and say, hey, you know what, I'll set you up to succeed. You know, some of you might be a little further ahead on the game board than others. That's fine, but you're all on the board. Now it's up to you. You know, I'll guide you, but I'm not going to give it to you. What's the point in that? What does that teach you? What kind of man does that make you? You know, I think you know this now, but I know people who do that too. And it's just the wrong approach. And I think it's more of an excuse to not work and to not do the things that are uncomfortable than it actually is like actual faith, if that makes sense. I could be stepping on some toes though, but this, you know,
Definitely.
40
Definitely.
something years on this planet, that's if I've learned anything, that's it.
Yeah. No, man, step on these fucking toes, dude, for real. Because I think I have I have a vendetta for pushing men to be better than who they think they can be, right? Because at the end of the day, it's just like for me, like I said before. The minute I knew and I like made that decision that no one's coming to save me, my life got extremely better. When I knew that I was in full control, I started blaming myself, stopped blaming other people. I just said, you know what, these are my problems. I was in full control, you know, money, relationship, everything went up for me. But I'm not gonna beat a dead horse. However, Patrick, I wanna ask you one last question before we get out of here. is what I consider is called the last word. So I give it to the guest, the last word. So it could be a quote, it could be a theme, it could be a story, something that you want to leave with us before we depart from listening to the podcast. What is the last word?
I guess it would just really sum up what we've been talking about. You know, I always went around saying, man, I have, you know, I'm such a good person and I have all this intelligence, you know, why isn't the world rewarding me for that? You know, why am I still struggling as somebody who's getting up in age and I'm still waiting tables and I'm not happy and, you know, and all this. And yeah, it took that revelation. You know, social media helped. You know, some books that I've read in the past have really helped. So you have to be able to, you have to want help. You have to go out and find the people who are doing the things that you want to be doing and find out how they got there and find out where the difference is. What are they doing that I'm not? And the answer is pretty sobering. There's probably a lot of things they're doing that you're not. And I just look, there is no other way to get there. You know, you can pray for it. You can wish for it. You can try to take the path of least resistance. At some point, you're going to realize that you've been wasting your time on those things. And the only way to do it is to just do it yourself, be ready for the failure, and keep going anyway. That's my superpower. This whole thing, pioneering all these offshore accounts and residence permits, you know, even you're going to have to deal with a lot of kind of red tape that, you know, Latin American red tape too, that you're probably not used to. But I just kept going where others quit. And I finally have put together the life that I really love. And I'm living, and it sounds boastful, I guess, but I'm living in ways that, you know, most people look at me and like, man, how is that even possible? It's because I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I just made it happen. That's it.
Yeah. Well, BP, thank you so much for coming out. And to the listeners, your legacy starts today.